Blog Talk Radio.
Play this one song, and then I'm gonna go ahead and play Creflo Dollar. so you could hear the message from him and the faith of the arena, the mind and the faith of the arena. Okay? All right.
The following program is being paid for by Creflo Dollar Ministries.
I'm a world changer.
Let's join Dr. Creflo Dollar for today's message.
Let's read verse 4, 1 John chapter 5, and verse 4 out loud together. Ready? Read. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Amplified says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. So things that operate in the world can be conquered. Lack can be conquered. Sickness can be conquered. Unemployment can be conquered. The Bible says what conquers it is your faith. Your faith that grows out of the Word of God has the power of bringing the world to its knees. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Four times, Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, the just shall live by faith. And so it is vital that we understand how to live it, how to live this life of faith. Now, the victory, according to this scripture, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So what we've got to look at is the arena, the battleground for faith. The place where you're going to win it or you're going to lose it is in the arena of your mind. You will win or you will lose based on what you allow to take place and who you allow to win in the arena of your mind. Your mind is where it's going to take place. Now, I began to think about this the other day. Take a man who has spent 30 years being educated with the wrong information. Well, all he is an intellectual fool because he's got the wrong, he's been informed wrong. And yet we're living in a society where we exalt the intellectual, but you never pause to ask the question, well, what was it that he learned? What is it that he calls his expertise? And as a result of it, you can be intelligent, but you can be intelligent off the wrong thing. Well, now you can go and you can get so many D's behind your name until you can whistle Dixie. D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D. And you still going to have it wrong. You're still going to have it wrong. So you have to be extremely cautious of who you decide to listen to. Because you're going to win it or lose it in the arena of your mind. I don't want to talk to an algebra expert and he doesn't understand how to live life. He ain't going to help me none. I mean, I appreciate what he's learned. But now I want to make sure I get in the Word and understand the Word. And you need to understand what it's like when an intellectual tries to lecture on the Word of what, you know, something that he doesn't know anything about. He's only going to base his foundation from the wrong information he got. So no matter what he sees in the scripture, he's going to base it off that wrong intellect that he's developed. Now I want you to listen to this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now I'm not down in education, except listen, you need to be educated in the right things. You need to be educated in the right things. The world's education will prepare you to be successful in the world. That's not going to be enough to be successful and to be great. You're going to have to be educated in the book of life and in the word of life. I know a whole lot of people who've gone to school and got, you know, bachelor's and master's degrees and still can't figure life out. Life is as big a mess after they graduated than before they did. You see, wisdom is what shines light on knowledge. You can have a whole lot of knowledge and not know what to do with it. But when the wisdom of God gives light over that thing, then all of a sudden it assimilates it in a place where it begins to work like it's supposed to work. Now look at this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Let's read verse 11 out loud together. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Ready? Read. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts, which war. Abstain. Stay away from the evil desires and passion of the flesh, your lower nature. Why? Because it will wage war against what? The soul. All right, now listen to this. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is made up of your thinker, your feeler, and your chooser. Now, let's understand the anatomy of man. Man is a spirit being. He doesn't have a spirit. He is one. Man is a spirit being. He possesses a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and he lives in a physical body. When a man dies, it is no different than when I go take this suit off. As long as I have this suit on, it has life because I'm in it. When I take it off, it's just going to hang somewhere or it's going to lay somewhere. But you understand what I'm saying? It's important that you understand that you are spirit beings. You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. Now, in times past, we've used the word soul and spirit interchangeably as if they were the same. They are not. You are a spirit being you have a soul and you live in a physical body. Now that soul, that mind, the will, the emotions, according to this scripture, he says, do not participate in fleshly lust, because in doing so, you will wage a war against your soul. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you got enough to deal with by just fighting the devil. You don't need to be going up and creating new wars. Now, let's look at this word flesh. The flesh, of course, birds have flesh and animals have flesh and the flesh of man. But we want to get down to the very nitty-gritty of what the word talks about when he uses this word flesh. You know, the physical body only does what it's told to do. There is your mind now and your mindset that has to give instructions to this physical body for it to do what it does. So a lot of things you can't blame on the earth suit. You have to get to the very root of how it operates, and that's your mind. So I submit to you that the flesh is a mindset that opposes the Word of God. The flesh is a mindset that is in opposition to the Word of God. To operate in the flesh is to operate in a way where you're in opposition to God's Word. That's the flesh. Now you think about what you call the flesh. Somebody cussing somebody out, you say that's the flesh. Well, why is that the flesh? Because they have done something that opposes what the Word says to do. Okay? So operating in the flesh is ultimately a mindset that is in opposition to the Word of God, and you operate in that mindset, which means you get involved, your physical body gets involved, your life gets involved because of your mindset. Now, so likewise, the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So how would we define spirit? What does it mean to walk in the spirit? We know to walk in the flesh means that you have a mindset. You're walking in a mindset that opposes the word. Well, what does it mean to walk in the spirit? Well, the spirit is a mindset as well. To walk in the spirit is a mindset. It is a mindset in agreement with the Word of God. A mindset in agreement with the Word of God. Well, when you're walking in a mindset that lines up with God's Word, then you are walking in the Spirit. And the greatest walk in the Spirit is the walk of love. But you have to have a mindset on love in order to begin to live that way and conduct yourself that way. That's called walking in the Spirit. Now, I need to define these two for you, because as we get into this series, you're going to need to know the bottom line, the root definition of what it means to walk in the flesh or to be fleshy. Now, he says, stay away from fleshy, watch this, lust. Now, let's deal with lust for a moment. When most people hear the word lust, they immediately think that it is making or having something to do, making reference to sex. All right, now that's one part of it. You can lust for power. You can lust for position. There are lots of other things you can lust for. To lust means you have an intense appetite to achieve the contradictions to God's word. So whatever contradicts God's word, you have an appetite to achieve it. A lust, a strong appetite to achieve something that's in opposition to the Word of God. That's why I thought it was so great that they used these two words together when they translated fleshly lust. It describes exactly what lust is. Lust is an intense appetite going in opposition to the Word of God. It's an intense appetite to have something that the Word doesn't want you to have. Now, here's what it says. When you allow your mind to be set in opposition to God's word, and that thing becomes an intense appetite, you have created a war in your mind. There's a battle now that you created because you decided to pick up something that the word was you know, saying don't do, and you picked it up anyway, and, you know, you did it once or twice, and now all of a sudden you had an appetite for it, and then, you know, one more time became one more time as you kept promising yourself one more time, but that became one more time, and you said, I mean it this time, but that became three more times, and now you got into no restraints. That's called lasciviousness, and you couldn't find the brakes, and you wanted to stop, but you couldn't stop, and now there's this whole war going on. There's a war in your mind going on. I'm not going to look at pornography. I'm not going to look at pornography. I'm not going to look at pornography. And every time you find yourself in there looking at pornography, I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to cuss. I'm going to start acting right. See, you did something to create the war in your mind. And he just told you what happens. Abstain from fleshly lust. Because if you don't, it will wage a war in your soul. Not only will your mind be impacted, but now your emotions will begin to be impacted. All of a sudden, your will is now under attack. You're finding yourself doing things that you don't want to do, but you do. You're in the same dilemma Paul was in Romans chapter 7. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. All of that is created when we violate what he just said concerning abstain from fleshly lust, for they do war against the soul. Now, I said all that to say this. Your mind is the battleground. It is going to be the place to determine where your life is going to end up. Your life just doesn't end up at a certain place. Your life ends up where it ends up. You are going in the direction you're going in because your mind is set that way. It's like when you set the cruise control on 55. It's set there, and it's going to stay there. It's going to take you to the place where it's being directed. So likewise, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important that you answer the question. And this is all I want to accomplish this morning. It is so important that you answer this question, who or what is setting your mind? Who or what is setting your mind? Oh, my goodness. See, you're going to have to evaluate, what am I watching? What am I hearing? What am I hanging around? And are those things lining up with God's word, or are those things in opposition to God's word? See, here's the harsh reality. I can preach this sermon for the next 2 months, but if you fail to evaluate what you're being exposed to, then your mindset won't change. Because when you're in the booth in the back in the corner in the dark at home where nobody can see you, only you know how your mind got set that way. Why do you think the way you think? Where'd you get that attitude from? How'd you become so convinced on the wrong thing? Where'd you hear it from? Was it Mama Nim? Was it Grandmama Nim? Was it Great-Grandmama Nim when Pookie used to come over drunk? Well, you had to get it from somewhere. You know, I apologize, but you're just not that original. It showed up somewhere. It's being maintained somehow. A bad attitude is something that can be extremely catchy. You can hang around folks and bring them home with you. And folks trying to figure out, who is this person you brought in my house? You can have dead relatives that have spent years imparting into your mindset. And even though they're dead, they're still alive in your mindset. The question this morning, who or what is setting your mind? Because your mindset will determine your life set. Where you go in life, how far you go in life, and what happens is life is going to be based solely on how your mind is set. This is the most important series of sermons I'll ever preach to you. Yes, amen. See, because if you correct this, it's corrected. If you correct what I'm talking about here, your life is corrected. All right, now watch this. Let's go a little further here. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Don't Don't start nothing that's going to create a war. Don't try nothing that's going to create a war. Okay? So if you hadn't looked at porno on the web, don't start. Huh? If you hadn't been to a strip joint, don't start. If you ain't cussed nobody out, don't do it like you used to. In other words, why create an extra battle? Why create it? Why create an extra battle? Why do it? Why create this extra battle? How many of you know you can't conquer those things on the outside of you until you first of all conquer those things right in front of you? You got to conquer your mindset before you're talking about, I'm going to defeat the devil. I'm going to defeat the devil. Now, you got to conquer that mindset that keep craving for that cookie every time you land in New York on Saturday. You got to stop that mindset that want that oatmeal cookie with the raisins in it, made with brown sugar, praise the Lord. I'm going to defeat the devil, and I can't defeat a cookie? The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. I have recently come to understand that the power of the tongue is responsible for death, it's responsible for life. But listen, it's not only the words that I speak, but it's also the taste that I have. So I found out my words would kill me, but my taste buds will as well. So I've had to rearrange some things, and I've had to make my mind up and say, now, you know what? This is it. You work all your life on your words, but you never work on your taste. I am going to defeat this cookie. And I have you know that over the last month, I have defeated the cookie and lost 10 pounds in the process. Are you listening to me? A cookie. Talking about Satan, I bind you. Bind that cookie. Now, I can't do no cookie. I tried. I'm going to say do a healthy cookie. They give me a healthy cookie, but I eat all of them. My wife said, baby, why don't you just take a piece? I don't want a piece. If it's sitting there, it's talking to me. Eat all of me. You can shape a spinach cookie, and it can taste bad. And you tell me it's a cookie, it's a cookie. Me and cookies, I just love cookies, but I have taken authority over cookie. A cookie is not going to stop me from being the very best that I need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a mindset. I had a cookie mindset. And as soon as I dealt with my mindset, I could deal with the cookie. See, a lot of you trying to fight the addiction, and you won't deal with the source behind the addiction. That's your mindset. Oh, I'm not going to get nobody running around on the dome on this one. Because your mindset told you that when you come to church, you're not supposed to rejoice that much. And that's why we're so civilized in church, and we can't get nobody to praise God like we need to be praising God, because your civilized mindset has told you that you only praise God this much. And heaven is waiting for you to change your mindset and start praising Him the way that He deserves to be praised.
Behind closed doors, man, you hit the floor, and what they can't see is your own, your me, so they-
I'd like to thank all my listeners for listening for the show. You know, tomorrow we're going to be back on tomorrow between the morning or afternoon time. So, you know, God bless. Stay in prayer. And thank you for listening to Faith is Power Radio.